Well, good evening, Alex and Angie. Thank you for getting things kicked off. That was fun. Tonight, yeah, you can give them a round of applause. Our theme has been unite and be light. And I have four goals, really, for our time together this evening. One is to talk about vision, to talk about our verses, to talk about our view as a faculty and the lens and priorities that we're approaching this year with, and then to end with our values and what is most true and most essential to our covenant community. So let's start with vision. As a parent, the start to the school year is crazy, right? It's busy, school supplies, uniform, class lists. I really feel like I've spent the past 2 weeks really just zoomed in on my family and all the stuff that we have going on. Tonight is really an opportunity to remember and reflect on why we are here, to focus on the bigger picture of what God has called us to. Do y'all remember when Google Earth first came out? Right? What was the first thing, be honest, what was the first thing, one of the first things you looked for in Google Earth? You looked for your house, right? You can go and explore anything on the face of the earth, and there's something within our nature that is curious about what we already know and what is so comfortable and normal to us. But what's great about Google Earth is that it's very easy to change your perspective. Our house may be the starting point, but it doesn't have to be the ending point. And so what I want us to think about today, tonight, is changing our perspective to think about what God is calling our covenant community to. Google Earth gives us a great change of perspective. Now, I spent a lot of time over the last 3 years finishing my graduate work and educational leadership at Covenant College, which is beautifully positioned on the top of Lookout Mountain. It has beautiful perspective every direction that you look. But perspective is only part of what's necessary when we think about our vision. Because a lot of times, this is the view from the top of Lookout Mountain. You have great perspective, but you don't have a good view. Right down the road from where this picture is taken is Rock City, and on a clear day, you can see 7 different states. So as we talk about our vision, I want us to think about both perspective and clarity. And I want us to challenge ourselves to really broaden our view of how we as a school consider what our vision is, because where I want to start is a reminder of not our vision just as a school, but as our vision as a church. Because one of the things that I am most thankful for about Perimeter School is that it exists as a ministry of Perimeter Church. And I believe that Perimeter School is so vital in carrying and propelling the vision of Perimeter Church forward. And I believe that when the home, the church, and the school together work in unison, that that is the best possible environment for nurturing our children. And the vision is broad, and the vision is clear. The vision of Perimeter Church is to make and deploy mature and equipped followers of Christ for the sake of family, community, and global transformation. And if you think about it, that's exactly what Perimeter School is. That as we partner together to educate, encourage, and equip our students to glorify God and enjoy Him forever by creating classroom environments where children know they're loved, love to learn, and learn to serve, that we're cultivating a generation that's passionate for the hope of Christ and the glory of God. that Perimeter School, because of their time here, can develop a more holistic understanding of who they are so that they are prepared and equipped to move into the world with compassion and confidence, primed for kingdom impact and cultural renewal. And as we think about the transformation that occurs in that, I can tell the story of my own family, not just being a student here, but my wife and I, this is our fourth year parenting in this school, and I can tell you we are better parents because of this place. And that every year our students are learning to serve by going out and building partnerships and relationships within our very own community. That's one of my favorite things to do as a parent in this school, is to chaperone service projects, because every single time I get a glimpse of one interaction of one student with one person in our community, and I think, I'm just one parent one time, our students are going time and time again to these same community partners, and every single class is doing that at the same time, and it's bringing the gospel and it's bringing relationship right here in our very own community. Think that God has used Perimeter School around the world, specifically in Tanzania and Guatemala, to bring change across the globe to communities through our educational partnerships. That as we think about what God is doing in this church, but even in this school, guys, God is up to something big, and he has invited us in his sovereignty and in his grace to be a part of that each and every day within the life of our school. Now, not only is this a pivotal time of transformation for our school, it's a pivotal time of transformation for our church. Next month, Jeff Norris will be installed as our new senior pastor. And I'm excited and thankful that he has agreed to be with us here tonight. I'd like to introduce him. He's going to have the opportunity to share with us a few words. So if you guys would join me in welcoming Jeff Norris.
Thank you, guys. First of all, I've got to step up my slide game. That's pretty impressive, man. I don't even know how you do that. That's awesome. So a couple months ago, maybe a month ago, I had asked Jeremy, I said, when's your first campus meeting? He told me, I said, would it be okay if I came? And he said, absolutely. And then I said, would it be okay if I shared a little bit? And he said, absolutely. So it tells you about Jeremy's heart in this partnership. I want to echo what he said in terms of the importance of Perimeter Church connecting with the values and the vision of Perimeter School, and all of that being interrelated towards the vision of where God's leading his people here through the church and through the school. And some of you perhaps maybe have just seen the vision statement of Perimeter Church: to make and deploy mature and equip followers of Christ for the sake of family, community, global transformation. And even now, as I said it again, you heard, it's like, what was that? Transformation. You heard that at the end. Here's what I want you to hear. I am absolutely convinced that God is stirring something here that's about to be spectacular, not for the glory of Perimeter Church, but for his glory. I'm convinced of that. I feel similarly to how when Randy showed up 42 years ago and all he knew was, God is calling me to plant a church. And we're going to attempt something so great for God that it's doomed to fail unless God be in it. And look where we are 42 years later, through him taking steps of faith over and over and over and over again and asking God to do what only he can do. And so we are, one of the things we're focusing a ton on that you're going to, I think you're maybe going to hear a little bit more about this from Jeremy. I don't know. I don't want to steal your thunder. But is what kind of posture are we in as a people? And this applies both to the church as a whole and to the school. Many of you are Perimeter members, some of you are not. But even if you're not a Perimeter member, we're talking about posture. We're talking about how are we positioning ourselves continually in a posture of dependence, of radical dependence upon the Lord to do what only he can do. Because that whole little phrase up there that we have is cute on paper, but it will not happen unless God shows up. Transformation in the family doesn't happen because of wise, cool, innovative, good parenting, Transformation in the family for the kingdom flourishing of God happens when the Holy Spirit shows up and moves in the hearts of the parents and in the hearts of the kids. Guys, I stink at parenting. I'm not just saying that so people go, oh, he's a pastor who's vulnerable. No, I mean it. Like, I struggle mightily. I have said so much lately that oftentimes the only thing I think I do well with my kids is repent. Would you forgive me? Because I struggle. And I find myself more often than not, either figuratively or literally, on my knees saying, God, would you move in the hearts of my children? Because I can't change their hearts. And so we long for the transformation of the family, and the school is critical in that. Absolutely critical to what we're asking God to do. And so my simple thought tonight was just to share with you that little posture piece of where we're going. I want to invite you into something, and that's this. Starting next Tuesday, September 3rd, we're going to begin, as we told, shared this with the staff last week, the perimeter staff, inviting our officers and school as well into this, so that, I don't know what time drop-off is, 8:30, something. I'll tell you in a minute where my family is in this whole thing, 8:15, so this is perfect. It was like I planned it or something, but I didn't. Anyway, you drop your kids off, and from 8:30 to 9:30 every morning of the week, we're just going to be gathering as a staff and as a group of people and praying. And there's no agenda. People have asked me a lot this week after I announced it, so what's this prayer time going to look like? And I just keep saying, I'm not sure. We're just going to show up and pray and ask God to move and do what only he can do. And so we invite you to come to that, 8:30 to 9:30 in the Ministry Center, which is the room below the chapel. If you want to hang around for an hour with us after you drop your kids off, you can do that. Let me tell you about my family. So I feel weird and awkward, especially when people approach me and say, why are your kids not at perimeter school? And let me tell you the story. We moved here 4 years ago. And let me read you something first. This was, Karen brought this to me today. I'm going to, hold on, I got to find it. Give me a second. I'm going to show up Ty a little bit with better poems. It's incredible poems here. First one is this. I went out in the night. There was not even one light. That's poem one. Be amazed. Poem two. The tree is so bright. I love the colorful leaves. I love the tree too. Profound. Poem three. This one's getting better. See an improvement. Pretty butterfly, so colorful and so bright. Likes that word, bright. Pretty butterfly are you. I love your pretty colors. I love butterflies. I'll give you one more. Pizza. Yummy, squishy, eating, stringing, slurping. Good to eat on football nights. Pizza. I lied. One more. There once, this is the best one. There once was a great big bunny who was very, very funny. She really nibbled and really giggled and hopped on days that were sunny. I call that improvement. Those are the poems written by my wife at perimeter school in third grade. And Sally Tenpass found those, brought them to Karen. Karen brought them to me. It was awesome. We love perimeter school. My wife was the second class that came through perimeter school. And we moved here with intentions to be at perimeter. Our oldest son, Samuel, is 16 years old, going into 10th grade, just started 10th grade. And Samuel has, we have this fun story that I wish I had time to tell you tonight. I'm already taking too much time. But we were able to adopt Samuel when he was 3 years old from an orphanage in Ukraine. And he has been our little overcomer. He's not little anymore, so I got to stop saying that. He's our overcomer. And he has been dealt a hand in his life that I am just, I can't wait to see what God does with the boy, because it's awesome to see all that he's had to overcome. He has a cocktail of learning disabilities that make it really hard for him in the classroom. And so when we came here and we met with PCS, we were loved well. And we were we suspected this might be the case, but we were just given wisdom to say, you know, I don't think this is going to be the best environment for Samuel because we don't have what he needs in the classroom. And we thought that might be the case, so we had already done some research. We have family connection up at Buford. Rachel's dad was a longtime head football coach and athletic director up there. Ryan, my brother-in-law, her brother is in the room. I saw him right over there, and Aaron. Ryan went to Buford and long history up there, and so we began researching Buford and found out very quickly and felt very sure that that's where God was calling us to put Samuel. So we put him in Buford schools, and then we tried to figure out how to have him at Buford. And the girls here, we have three girls. Samuel 16, Ellie Kate's 12, Abigail's 10, Annie's 7. And when we started trying to figure out the logistics of how to live somewhere near Buford, have him there, and have the girls here with various pickup times, we thought what might come first is checking Rachel into the hospital. So we made the hard decision, but we know it was the right decision to put all of our kids up at Buford. And they have thrived there, and it's been great. But I'll be honest with you, it's been hard for me to be here every day and to watch this community and to see what God is doing here and not be a part of it. And even being here tonight, there's a part of me that's going, oh, God, that would have been so cool to be a part of. But God's writing a different story for us. But here's what I want you to hear. If you're a Perimeter member, or if you, all of you at Perimeter School, as I move into this role of senior pastor, I could not be more for Perimeter School. I love Perimeter School. I love everything about it. And I want to champion you guys in every way that I can. And whatever that means on Sunday mornings and whatever it means throughout the week, just know I love it. I love the school. I love y'all. And I love how the transformation of the family is happening because of what God is doing through His Holy Spirit in your families and in this school. So I'm excited, I'm thankful for all of you, and I can't wait to see what God does in the coming years. So thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. One of the things that I've loved about already being able to sit under Jeff's leadership and him coming in is really saying the vision isn't changing. The vision of the church isn't changing. The vision of the school isn't changing, but what Jeff has done is begin to give us a different perspective, give us new words to think about and challenge us to live out that vision in an even more relevant way. He kind of alluded to the posture, the plan, and the purpose for the church, and these words that you'll, as we move into this fall, begin to hear, one of radical dependence, that our daily posture and prayer would be trust, surrender, and reliance upon God to do what only He can do. That the fuel of our church would be lived out through discipleship and spiritual multiplication so that we would see a coming and a flourishing of God's kingdom. What does that look like for Perimeter School and for our five-year-olds? The exact same thing, just with a little bit different wording. One that as parents, we ourselves would model radical dependence. That our students would respond to the gospel. And that through that they would gain a kingdom mindset for redemptive dominion. That at Perimeter School, our daily posture and prayer of our students, our parents, our faculty and staff would be to trust upon Jesus to do what only He can do. That there would be responsive discipleship as we encourage and equip our students to understand and steward their citizenship in the kingdom of God, and that they would respond with faith and obedience as responsive and responsible disciples of Christ. That they would leave this place as difference makers and disciple makers with a view of what God is calling them to do redemptively. As they come to a deeper understanding of who God created them to be, that they would go forth into the world with confidence and compassion primed for cultural renewal and kingdom impact. Hope you've been following, as Alex and Angie encouraged us, our social media. Because all summer long, You've seen the stories of our alumni over the past 36 years who've been equipped with a kingdom mindset to move into their spheres of cultural influence. And it's a story of God's faithfulness time and time again to work through this school and to work through this church. And if you look at each one of their stories, you'll know that God is up to something big and he's invited us to be a part of it. Where I want to turn our attention next is to our verses. We'll be looking at 1 John. So if you have your Bibles or on your phone, feel free to pull up 1 John, because really what John is doing is he's giving us the perfect outline for living a posture of radical dependence. Now, John is writing to a new generation decades after the resurrection. And how he starts is he says, that which is from the beginning. He's calling a new generation back what is most true and most fundamental to the gospel. And he's going to talk about the glory of the resurrection in a relevant way to new readers and a new generation. He's going to make what is timeless about his experience timely for those who are living decades after Jesus. He's going to give them pictures. God is light, walk in the light. God is love, love one another. He's going to reinvent the gospel for a new generation. This is what he says in 1 John 1, 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That's which we have seen and heard and proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and is with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Notice the words John uses. It's a message that he has personally experienced. He's seen it. He's witnessed it. And he has a growing passion now to proclaim to a new generation who God is and what he has done. It's hard to believe that it's now been over 10 years ago that U.S. Airways Flight 1549 took off from LaGuardia, encountered a flock of geese, lost power in both engines, and Captain Sully Sullenberger had to make an emergency landing on the Hudson River. Because of his skill, all 155 passengers walked away from that crash. Now, there's a difference in hearing a news story about Sully Sullenberger. It's a whole nother thing to hear a passenger on that plane who experienced that landing give praise to the captain who brought their salvation. That's what John is doing. He's experienced it, he's passionate about it, and he's ready to tell his story. And John begins with the why. Why he's so passionate about bringing this message to the new generation. He gives us two things. Fellowship. That the Christians would have fellowship first with God through Christ. And then fellowship with one another, the body of believers. His second reason is that they would have joy. That fellowship with God would be a reality that they enjoy, and that their fellowship together would be something that brings them joy. And I hope that as you come to parent meetings and as you come to campus meetings this year, that your expectation would be that we would experience, as the covenant family and body of Christ, fellowship with one another in joy. He goes on, and he says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here he gives us the first picture that God is light. Light always overcomes what darkness conceals. In 2007, I had the opportunity to travel to the Wadi Sports Camp outside Cairo, Egypt, the only Christian camp in the entire Arab world, and had the opportunity to be a counselor for some Egyptian high school students. And what I learned very quickly was that the Egyptians have a very, 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 very high level of competitiveness when it comes to games. And their staff have a very, 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 very low view of safety. So it was awesome. It was a game that we could never play here in the States, but I'm glad I got to experience it. So this game, here's the camp. Campers had to get from that tower in the background all the way to where this picture was, which was taken, which is at the top of another climbing tower. So we played this game at night. We're an hour and a half outside the city. There are no lights anywhere. The Egyptian campers are naturally dark-skinned, and they wear all black. They have the Americans on the other side. They make us dress in all white. So we're kind of glowing in the dark. So they have to make their way. So here's where the safety part comes in. So this is all the stuff that's down there. Cement blocks, wires crisscrossing. That's like a pile of bricks and barbed wire. Some rusted barrels, which you cannot see at all. And the campers, they're smart, right? They know, like, I can't just tag them because I can't see who they are. So you learn very quickly, you have to wrestle these kids to the ground, and then you have a marker that makes them have to go back to the base. So this was my plan. There's a black banner right there. I was going to hide behind this black banner so it wasn't visible. And then as soon as they would come out, I would pop out, run full force after these guys to tackle them to the ground. Okay. Now what is even hard to see on this picture is that the entire background behind that soccer goal is a net. So I am on the other side of that net, hidden behind the black banner. So the camper comes out. The black banner is on the far right there. I see him. I'm like, he is not getting by me. So I take off like full force, ready to clothesline this guy. And all of a sudden, I hit the net. And I'm like clawing around in the dark. I had no idea what has hit me. And I'm pulling the net down as I'm doing this. And somehow one leg goes through and then the wire pulls back. And I, whoop, hanging upside down. And no one has any idea. I'm caught. Now, why do the campers love the darkness? Because it conceals what they're doing. Why did I long for the light? Because I was trapped in an impossible situation that I could not free myself from. Thankfully, my brother and another guy that was on the trip with us came and rescued me. But this is the picture that John is painting. God is light. Overcomes the darkness. Paul writes in Thessalonians and Colossians that we live as children of the light, that God has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and placed us in the kingdom of light. And because God is light, our children need us to shepherd and disciple them through an opportunity of contrast to a dark and a blind culture. They live in a culture with darkness and pitfalls all around them, more so than when we were kids. And we can retreat in fear, or we can steward that as an opportunity to live in contrast, knowing that God is light. He has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and called us to live in the light. So how do we do that? That's exactly what John tells us. He says we do that by walking in the light. And he's going to give us two steps to walk in the light. The first is dependence, that this plant is completely dependent upon light for its life, that we maintain a posture of radical dependence, to rely on God to do what only he can do, knowing that he is the one who transfers us from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light. Step two is repentance. John says, don't deny your sin, confess it. I'm right there with Jeff, that as a parent, I feel like I do more repenting of my own sin and my shortcomings with my children. But that's exactly where John is pointing us, to live surrendered and submissive to Christ. Now Paul is very logical in his writing. John is more poetic. He's going to use this process called amplification, and he's going to circle back and forth and around these pictures over and over and over again. And so all throughout the book of 1 John, you're going to see these steps: dependence, repentance, dependence, and repentance. The question I ask myself, are these the footprints that my kids are seeing? Daily steps of dependence and repentance. And do they know that this is what walking in the light looks like? That it is not a moment of prayer, but is a lifetime of posture, dependence and repentance upon him. John goes on to write, "My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours, but for the whole world." Do our children know where Jesus is? That he stands before the Father and he pleads their case as their advocate. Now, John in his gospel, in John 8, this is exactly where he records Jesus proclaiming, "I am the light of the world." And it's also where we hear the story of the woman who is caught in sin. John says, when you sin, we have an advocate. She comes to Jesus. What does he say? "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? Go and sin no more." Because Jesus is our advocate, our children need an atmosphere in our homes and our action as parents to point them to the one who pleads their case. And this is where I blow it so many times as a father. That when I address my children, am I amplifying the voice of the accuser? Or am I amplifying the voice of their advocate, Jesus? My family spends a lot of time at Chick-fil-A. We were there this weekend. Love Chick-fil-A. And what I love about Chick-fil-A is that when my potty training toddler has an accident at the top of the playground, or my other kid drops his ice cream cone and makes a mess, they aren't outraged. They aren't surprised. Every Chick-fil-A employee in that place hops up and they're cleaning it up and there's my pleasure all over the place. Our school and our homes need to be the best places for our children to have accidents. for them to spill their anxiety and their fear, and for us to run towards that with pleasure, knowing that they have an advocate in Jesus. Because I'll tell you this, having been a student here, Perimeter is a safe place to raise compliant children who have no true understanding of the gospel. We took our family to the zoo the week before school, and there's this amphibian exhibit that has these huge glass cages that let you see in, and they have these little tiny touchscreens. And I watched all these kids go from touchscreen to touchscreen to touchscreen, never looking through the glass at the real creature. And it's easy to talk about Jesus in comfortable, entertaining ways for our kids, and they never see the real King of Kings. Because as we think about responsive discipline for our children, there's a difference between compliance and obedience. And what we're after is obedience. Because obedience is really God reflecting on the outside what he is already doing on the inside. Jesus is our advocate. I love the song, "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest who ever lives and pleads for me. Name is love." And that's exactly where John goes next. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." And our children need to see us love God most and love others well. Because if our love is wrapped up in misguided expressions or misplaced affections, our children will never know the love of the Father through Jesus, and they'll never know that we believe that Jesus is better than anything else the world has to offer. God is light. God is love. We walk in the light through the daily steps of dependence and repentance. And in that, we experience the fruit and the blessing of fellowship and joy. These are six word pictures I want to leave you with as you walk through these verses in your homes. I want you to view this not as a school assignment, but a means of God's grace for your home and for your family. We have a gift, one per family, of a set of verse cards. There's one for each verse, and it's designed to be a decorative way that you can display God's word in your home, and that as you memorize and meditate on God's word together, your family will experience fellowship and joy together as we learn to walk in the light together. Next thing I want to cover very quickly is view, and what the faculty has been chewing and thinking on for this year, and thinking about walking in the light, and how, through dependence and repentance, do we teach today in view of tomorrow. We've been reading a book by Tim Elmore called Marching Off the Map. And if you think about it, you know, parenting is hard, and it's different from when our parents did it. The same is true for teaching. It's hard and it's different. We can think about the concept of marching off the map, that being kind of unknown and scary. How many of you have ridden Space Mountain? Right? What makes this ride thrilling and fun is that it takes place in the dark, right? What makes it scary is that you can't see. And so what we're committed to is kind of flipping on the lights and taking a real and honest view of what it looks like to march off the map. Tim Elmore uses this analogy of ancient map makers kind of putting dark and scary things in the corners of the map that have been unexplored and far away. That what is unknown and unfamiliar is somehow terrifying and to be avoided at all costs. But what he advocates for is this concept of making the timeless timely. So in thinking about this, I thought about what were some of the most popular movies in the early 90s when I was a student at Perimeter School? Aladdin, Lion King, Toy Story. What were the movies that my family went to this summer in 2019? Aladdin, Toy Story, and The Lion King. Now, why is that? There is an element of what is timeless in these stories, but they've been reinvented and made timely for an entirely new generation. What our teachers are thinking about is if you took a teacher from the 1950s and put her in one of our first grade classrooms, nothing about the workings of that classroom would be very different. What would be different are the students. What if you took a surgeon from the 1950s and put her in an operating room in a hospital in 2019? That surgeon would be completely lost. And so what Tim Elmore in this book is challenging us is there are things that we need to be honest and evaluate. We may need to change. Things are a lot different from 1983 when Perimeter School started, and where we are today. And Christian educators as a whole, rightly so, move very, very slowly towards change, but we can never become stuck. Y'all know what this is? It's a cup holder. Do you know why this exists, why this is a thing? It's because automakers could not fathom the concept that any human being would think about bringing a drink into a car. So they didn't have cup holders, right? I drive the smallest four-person car you could possibly think of, and I'm pretty sure there are eight cup holders in there. We have to take an honest look at how we can think about marching off the map, not with a bunch of changes, but with the right changes that are focused on serving our students. That can create fear. If you've ever seen or listened to the musical Dear Evan Hansen, it starts with a song sung by two moms of teenagers who are growing up in a digital age and online. And the song is called, Does Anybody Have a Map? Does anybody happen to know how to do this? Because I don't know if you can tell, but this is me just pretending to know. John's given us a great framework to address this fear of marching off the map. Because he tells us to recognize God as light and love, that God is the author of the map. And that only steps off the map that can occur are steps of dependence and repentance. And that we're better map makers together when we step in fellowship and in joy. And as we do that, that's what gives us the momentum to move forward. He uses the analogy of a swing. We must swing back and hold on to what is most timeless and true about this place. And it is only what is most timeless and most true that can propel us toward improvement of making what is timely, timeless. What is timeless, timely for a new generation. We can't hide in what is timeless. But I am convinced that what is timeless is the thing that will propel us to new heights of loving and serving families, of this place to truly be a place where children know they're loved, love to learn, and learn to serve. That brings us to the end, to our values of being a covenant community that's rooted to flourish. I chose this picture for a reason, not just the light coming through, illuminating the path of God calling us to walk in the light through steps of dependence and repentance, but the fact that these are live oaks. I had the privilege to be a nature study instructor here for several years and love looking at God's creation and seeing the beauty of the sovereign creator of all things display himself in the things that he has created. So I want you to watch this video and think about what God is calling us to do this year as a covenant community that's rooted to flourish.
We know more about how the natural world works than ever before. It's kind of a perfect storm for nature-inspired innovation. During Hurricane Katrina, you would have thought that the live oaks on St. Charles Street would have died, when actually only 4 out of over 700 trees died. Why is that? Well, the trees, it turns out, the whole thing is a blueprint for how to survive hurricanes. Their trunk is spiraled, so they flex in the wind, and their branches are spiraled, so they flex, and their leaves, when the wind hits them, they curl into the shape of a Fibonacci sequence, which allows the wind to flow through with minimum friction so that the leaves don't get torn off easily. And even more importantly, under the ground, it's really roots are actually entwined with the roots of the trees next to it. So when a hurricane hits a live oak in New Orleans, it's not hitting one tree, it's hitting a whole community.
Isn't that cool? Covenant family, may our children be deeply rooted in the gospel as we are deeply rooted in the light, and the love, and the grace of God. I'm going to invite Alex and Angie back up and the rest of the SMT, and we're going to close the night by saying our covenant pledge together.
Thank you. Yeah. Come on up, guys. We just wanted to bring up the school ministry team here for this coming year, and just real quick, and that's such a great video to kind of share what we want to do and what we're about. We want everyone here to be about, and that's just living the covenant. Just like those trees kind of locking branches, we want to lock arms and love each other well. We're all a mess, right? Everyone up here and all you guys are too. And congratulations. But in that, and we're going to mess up trying to serve well and trying to just do life together well and getting in the mess together well. But we're going to mess up even up here. We expect a lot of grace and we'll give a bunch of it as well. And but we just wanted to, I think, just introduce ourselves. We're for you. We exist because of you and we're one of you. And we wanted to really just say covenant pledge together as a whole family. So if you guys wouldn't care, let's just stand and we'll close with this. I'll pray after this. But let's stand up. I know it's going to be weird, but lock arms. Don't hold hands because they're sweaty. But go ahead and lock arms. And let's just say this together as a family. As a professed member of the Covenant family of Perimeter School and acknowledging my role as a primary educator of my children, I hereby recognize my inadequacy to raise up Covenant children alone. I pledge with this community to be actively present, vulnerable, teachable, and prayerful. I promise to pursue opportunities made available by Perimeter School to equip and bring all of us to greater maturity in Christ.
burden. It is a privilege to take advantage of these critical years of growth and learning in our children. This pledge expresses the desire of my heart, and I depend on Him for strength and joy and His fulfillment.
That's awesome. Let me pray for us, and we'll get out of here. Lord, we love you so much, and we're thankful. I'm thankful for these people who've carried us over the years, and you've put them in our life. We don't have family here, and so many of us don't, but you blessed us with this group, this covenant family. And in our brokenness, we stood on shoulders. Thank you for those who are willing to do that. I pray we would all have a heart and a burden for everyone around us. Give us grace, Lord, as we attempt to serve others. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for this place. We thank you for these teachers. We thank you for the faculty. We thank you for the leadership. We thank you for our precious kids. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and we love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.